Dan, tell Dan, what do you look at when you take a look at something like this? I mean, when I read the story, I said, "My God, the millennials are not staying here at all." So, what do you think our future is then? What can we do about it?
Well, there's an economist who works for the state of Connecticut who looks at the charts of what the aging, the population of Connecticut is going to be, and he believes that the popular wisdom, which is to make our small cities more like big cities, that is through building and public construction of amenities and you know, ballparks and so forth, he thinks that maybe what we ought to do is wait it out, because by the time we get finished making it attractive to millennials, there won't be that many millennials left, you know, because what's coming is a smaller number of millennials in the country as the baby boom fades. Now, I have a kid who's 21, and I guess that was around the peak, but maybe in 10 years, or not maybe, we know what's going to happen in 10 years,
yep.
Especially with less immigration. Immigration is what makes demographics harder to predict, but even there, we know who's coming. And if we're not letting anyone in, then we know what we're going to get, which is nothing. So there's not a whole lot that Connecticut can do quickly, that's for sure. And this, of course, is part of the Federal Reserve's Working Cities Challenge, where they're challenging small cities to do something to improve themselves. And Torrington's plan had to do with attracting younger adults.
Well, again, Dan, when you got into this, did you think this is what you were going to find?
Well, no, most of the cities that were at the program I attended, which was, again, the Small Cities Challenge organized by the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, were dealing with unemployment issues of one kind or another. Bridgeport, Danbury, Hartford, most of them are dealing with, let's take a focused population, and for example, New Britain. I talked to the mayor there, Mayor Stewart, and I think you know Mayor Stewart in New Britain.
I think she's tremendous.
Yes, and their goal is to cut Hispanic or Latino unemployment in half, from 14% to 7% in 10 years. Easier said than done for any group. But that's their goal, and that's the problem they have. And, of course, that's also related to the issues surrounding young people, which seems to be what a lot of us are looking at these days. I hope that doesn't mean people like you and me are being, you know, aged out of the market for concern. They should worry about us. Right.
I'm not worried about that. You know, I live day to day, and so do you.
I do, absolutely, and I can't complain.
No, I can't either. No, I'm a lucky guy. But, you know, I want to hold you. Have you got anything scheduled for the next few minutes?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, because I want to hold you to after the news. I've got some more things I want to talk to you about as far as this whole city situation. I want to talk about Hartford, too.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are we going to make it in Hartford?
I think it's a little bit better than it was, but it's not as good as it needs to be. And the problem in Hartford is not only attracting people, but the structural tax base. That is, there isn't enough tax base in the city of Hartford to pay for all the things that the city of Hartford is obliged to pay for.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back with Dan Haar, a very special guest, a columnist for the Hartford Courant, who wrote this really great, great article. 8 o'clock in the morning, the Brad Davis program, and as I said, I'll be back with Dan. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, my special guest this morning, I'm holding him over, Dan Haar, Hartford Courant. He wrote a tremendous piece in the Courant this week, and talked about the various cities in Connecticut and some of the problems that they are having as far as age goes. And there is a project entitled Working Cities Challenges. And that Dan went to a conference and wrote this piece. Dan, good morning again. Good morning.
We're back, yes.
We're back. Now, you know, one of the things that has troubled me all along, and it was dropped, then it was started up again, but if we ever have to go bankrupt in Hartford, you know what this is going to do to the state for you know, several years. I mean, that's all they'll be talking about nationally. And I happen to think that Luke Bronin is on the right path to maybe save us from bankruptcy. Do you agree, or what do you think we have to do?
Well, I don't know if I would credit Luke Bronin with saving us from the bankruptcy. Luke Bronin is doing what he has to do to avoid it. You know, the city of Hartford has been on an unsustainable path, and I would say in some ways worse than the state. Unfortunately, the solution is that the state has to give the city of Hartford more money. If the structural deficit is between $50 and $100 million, that's a lot of money for the state to just come up to keep its capital city going, and that may be what it takes. Meanwhile, Luke Bronin, Mayor Bronin, he seems to be saying and doing all the right things, but it remains to be seen whether that's money. The other option is that the city can restructure its debt, and that's what he's been trying to do with the unions, and he had success with one union, the firefighters union,
yep. But
he's not having as much success with the other union. So it's an ongoing process, and the state of Connecticut is next up as to what's going to happen, and they need some money to keep Hartford out of bankruptcy court, which is not easy to find.
Do you think, Dan, that in the end, the unions, knowing what would happen to the state, what would happen to the city, do you think in the end that they would do something to help?
Yes. The short answer is yes, and they have. You know, one of the reasons that the firefighters union stepped up in a big way, which the mayor has been talking about at every stop, of course, now this week we're talking about baseball, so everything's a little bit on hold so we can get that stadium open.
Yep.
But it is that the other unions had some form of concessions more recently, and the firefighters union had not. So, there may be that there was a sort of a structural reason why the firefighters union was able to step up. But it's difficult for everybody because although we all like to write stories about individual cases of abuse in which individual people are getting $120,000 of overtime, or maybe somebody has a pension of $150,000. For the most part, the rank and file of city and state retirees are not making a fortune. I think the average state pension is $35,000 a year, and that's not the $100,000 that we write about and read about. So it's a difficult situation. And again, I think you're right on track when you talk about the costs that are built in. It's not that the city is spending too much money now. It's that it made too many promises in the past.
And again, I just have to wonder how long this is going to take us, because it's something we live with all the time. And, you know, when you think of Connecticut, people look at Connecticut, oh, that's a wealthy state you live in. I mean, I hear this all the time. But it really isn't.
Aren't you one of the 11 billionaires?
No,
I think we're up to 17 billionaires. Aren't you one of them?
You know something, every time I have you on the program, I know that I've got to get a couple of these cracks. But I don't know what we're going to do if we don't get this straightened out. And how long of a time do you think it's going to take us? What would your guess be?
I don't think that the long-term picture for straightening out a fiscal mess is easy or good, because it becomes a problem of competing against states where the cycle is going in the right way instead of the wrong way. So the biggest thing that helps a state pay its bills is growth, right? It's not cutting spending and having, you know, lower taxes because you have lower spending. The key is to have lower taxes because you have growth. And it's hard to have growth when your taxes are high to begin with and have to go up at least temporarily. So it's just not a situation that's easy to get out of, and I don't think, there is no simple solution. I'm in the camp that says it's hard for me to see how the state can get out of the mess it's in without increasing the sales tax, and that relates directly to Hartford because the sales tax increase would be dedicated to the city. Under the plan that's kicking around right now in the legislature. And, of course, the governor did not propose that. The governor specifically stuck with his Republican-style budget of deep concessions from the unions and deep cuts in services. And that's what I think we need, some of all of the above. The question is whether with the shift of property tax burden in the form of teacher pension payments from the towns, whether if that doesn't fly politically, what do you replace it with? And the answer almost has to be a sales tax,
but a
sales tax increase from, say, 6, if you go from 6.35%, which is where we're at now, to 6.85, that raises another $300 million. And, of course, the Republicans all say there's absolutely no way that you can raise taxes, and Malloy is saying that for the most part. But the question is whether there's another answer that works under the Newtonian physics of having to pay your bills.
Well, Dan, I know that I'm going to be talking with you again, but it's always great to speak with you. I'm very concerned. I know you are. And when you take a look at the whole picture and you look down the road, I was thinking the other night, if we ever have to file bankruptcy, it'll be all over the papers, all over the country for a long, long time, and this is going to hurt us getting people to come into Hartford, getting businesses to relocate in Hartford. So, you know, we've got some problems, but I'm a positive guy, and I know you are too, and I think that we can straighten it out if we all get together and do it.
On the week of the opening of downtown Hartford baseball for the first time in, I don't know, when was the 50s? I didn't believe it was before the 50s.
Since the Hartford Chiefs. Yep.
The Chiefs. When was the Chiefs? Was that 40s?
It was in the 40s, yeah.
40s. Wow. So, okay. So, it's been a while. Most of us don't remember it.
Well, again, I don't either. I just read it.
There you go. Well, I'm sure there are some listeners, and you may be wishing happy birthday to them today, who do remember it. God bless them.
Hey, thanks a million for being with me, Dan, and we'll talk
thanks,
again.
Brad. You bet. Thanks, Brad. Take care.
You bet.